3.
With the government coalition leaders and all of the various departments working to put together the budget for next year, which of course will be announced next month, an advocacy group for people with spinal injuries are calling on the government to change the current system around the granting of medical cards to their members. And to discuss the issue, I'm joined by Fiona Bulger. And Fiona is Chief Executive of Spinal Injuries Ireland. Good morning to Fiona.
Good morning, Patricia. Thank you for having me on.
Well, good to talk to you. Now, I think people, because I certainly was very surprised to read and hear that somebody who suffers a spinal injury is not automatically entitled to a medical card. Is it the standard means test you're talking about?
Absolutely. So I just want to explain, first of all, it's not just a spinal injury. It's a spinal cord injury. So these are people who are paralyzed, you know, either traumatically or non-traumatically. People would be familiar with road traffic accidents or sports injuries or motorbike injuries or bike injuries. And we're seeing now more and more people sustaining spinal cord injuries through, you know, other illnesses such as cancer or stroke. So these are people who are paralyzed for life. Their condition is never going to improve. And they are not automatically entitled to a medical card. Now, in the recent survey that we did, we estimate that out of 2,200 people with a spinal cord injury in the country, there's about 700 people who currently do not have a medical card. So we're not talking about a huge ask to government. You know, 700 medical cards in the scheme of things is not a huge amount. And the other most important ask that we're asking the government to look at is that not to review people on a 1 or a 3 year basis, but to stretch that out to 10 years. Because the impact, if somebody's reviewed on a year to year basis, they are worried so much that they're going to lose their medical card. They start stockpiling catheters or stoma bags, and then they have the whole worry that what's going to happen, what, you know, the costs that are involved if they don't have a medical card. They've no access to community services. If they need a new wheelchair, they don't have access to that. And that has a huge impact on people's ability to work.
Yeah, because at the end,
they won't work if they think they're going to lose their medical card.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, and as you pointed out, this is a lifelong condition. So reviewing people on their medical cards, it's not like they're suddenly going to get better from one review to the next review.
Exactly, exactly. And you can imagine the stress of asking, you know, having to answer questions like, has your condition improved?
Yeah, and then getting all the paperwork together because it's means tested.
And getting all the financial papers and everything together, you know.
Yeah, it's a stress. It's a stress that people don't need.
The importance of people. Sorry.
It's a stress, I'm saying, that people don't need.
Absolutely. But people underestimate as well the ability for people to participate fully in society after sustaining a disability like a spinal cord injury. So last week we were in Leinster House and, you know, I mean, all the politicians are very supportive of our cause. We had a great meeting with Minister Anne Rabbitt, who's Minister for Disabilities. And, you know, we'd be hopeful they're listening to it. But Dr. Emer Smith, who's the rehabilitation physician at the National Rehabilitation Hospital, she was in Leinster House with us. And she emphasised to all the politicians that, you know, the ultimate goal for people when they go to the National Rehabilitation Hospital is to return to work. And that has such enormous social, psychological and intellectual fulfillment for people. And it gives them a sense of achievement after sustaining their injury that they continue in the working life and they continue to contribute to society.
Would you hear of some of your members, Fiona, and would you know of some who've admitted that they've turned down work for fear of losing that valuable medical card?
Yes, absolutely. People are afraid of their lives. They're afraid to buy a house. They're afraid to, you know, one thing which I think is shocking is that it's not just your own personal finances that are taken into consideration when assessing you for a medical card. It's your family. So, you know, if you're living with a partner and the partner is earning money, that can impact your ability to get a medical card. And it's, you know, we know, like, right, all the research has been done that poverty for people with disability is a huge issue.
Mm.
And, you know, it impacts not just the person who sustained the injury, but the whole family.
Yeah, because if at times some of these spinal cord injuries can be the main breadwinner, and that's going to have huge
Absolutely.
Implications
yeah.
For the family.
Yes, yeah.
And I was kind of, when I saw the figure, I hadn't really thought about it. Is it true that on average about 3 people a week suffer some kind of a spinal cord injury? Is it as high
as
that?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, statistics show that 3 people, so it has actually... It's probably that the traditionally, you know, the stereotypical spinal cord injury was young male, you know, road traffic accident, sporting accident. But in fact, it has changed over the years, and we're an aging population. So now every week we would say there's probably 1 traumatic injury, and there are 2 non-traumatic. And the non-traumatic ones are the cancer-related mm-hmm. or the stroke or...
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because when you know, we're sadly too often reporting on, you know, devastating road deaths and catastrophes that are happening only last weekend, you know, 4 young lives lost. Yeah. But often when we're reporting on road fatalities, it'll be mentioned that somebody else was taken to hospital. And we forget about the other person who was injured. And many of those are the people you're talking about who
that
go on
great,
to
yeah.
have these spinal cord injuries.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, they go through the whole trauma of, you know, it's like a spinal cord injury is described by the World Health Organization as one of the most devastating and life-changing injuries that a person can sustain. And, you know, that says it all to me in that, you know, people need to be supported. It's not a huge percentage of the population. We reckon there's probably about... We have 2,200 people on our database, and we reckon there's probably another 200 people out there that are not signed up to Spinal Injuries Ireland. But it's very, you know, even to be a member of Spinal Injuries Ireland, you have to be medically certified. So it's not people are not making these conditions up in order to get a medical card. You must be medically certified, and surely that should be good enough.
Yeah.
In order to get a medical card.
And do they need a lot of medical support, particularly in order if they want to live an independent life as possible?
Yes, well, you know, people really just look at the wheelchair or, you know, if somebody's walking with an aid, that's what they see as the injury. Unfortunately, you know, if you think of your cord running from the back of your neck right down to, you know, the base of your spine, Your cord can be damaged anywhere along that area. And, you know, depending on how high it is, that dictates your level of paralysis. And not only does it mean that you cannot move your legs or your hands, but it also means that the organs don't operate properly as well. So people have huge bowel and bladder issues. You know, sexuality is another issue. And along with that goes huge mental health issues. And the one thing that really, really I find very hard to believe is that people suffer from chronic neurological pain. I always presumed, I'm not a medical person, but I always presumed that if you were paralyzed, you wouldn't feel anything.
Yeah.
But in fact, pain is a huge issue for people with a spinal cord injury.
Goodness me, goodness me. Mm. So they will regularly need to attend, be it a GP, hospital appointments and all of the aids that go with that. And if you have a medical
Absolutely.
Card, it's covered. And if you don't, it's not covered.
Exactly. And you have to pay for it privately then.
Crazy. Just a crazy, crazy situation. You mentioned you were part of that delegation at Leinster House. Do you feel you got a fair hearing, a good hearing?
Yes, no, we did. And, you know, Patricia, you know how these things work.
I know.
Follow-up now. So, you know, we're doing all the follow-up this week as well. But, yes, we did. We felt that we did get a very good hearing. And, you know, there seems to be quite a lot of support. But, you know, it's budget time. And, you know, every day in Leinster House, there's a different group in lobbying for what they want. So you just have to hope that your number comes up. at some stage.
Yeah, but I think, as you've pointed out, it's such a small number, Fiona. It really isn't going to break the bank, and certainly not break the bank of the health department, which are massively on overspend. Okay, listen, you're fantastic advocates for people with spinal injuries.